on a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness till boredom overtook us. And he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces, knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice." So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, "If you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep. 'Cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser, and the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep." And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out a cigarette, faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up, when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold.
Hello, kid. Your money is back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to talk to me?
What are we saying here, man?
And we're talking about Pat.
Oh, well. That's Pat. All right with me, man.
Come on, Pat.
Can y'all hear me?
Sure.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm trying to see if I can hear you. Oh, okay.
Is there, guys?
Okay. That might be the will of God there, Mike. That might be the will of God.
Hey, man.
It might be the will of God.
Pat's just another person on the planet sharing it with you and me, buddy. Breathing the same air. So, you know. he's a toddler.
Now, don't take this wrong, but I think he's about to breathe some more fire up your ass.
Well, that's okay. That's all right with me. She's entitled to her opinion, and she's entitled to feel the way she feels about them. You know, I there's a lot of people that, you know, they'll do those interviews with people at Trump rallies. You know, and there's a lot of people that listen to those interviews and just really laugh it up, you know, and they are kind of funny in a way, but it's just, Now I know it's just the Mitchell effect, and so I'd rather they were out there free and able to walk around and express their opinions than be locked up for thinking.
Yeah. You know, call back, Pam. We honestly hit a drop. Nobody cut you off. Call back. We'll get a kick out of talking to you, Pat. You're a friend. Come on.
Anyways.
Yeah, we'll wait. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. So anyway, about them flying pigs that you were talking about. Yeah, you know, how do you perceive what'll happen? What do you think will happen if Clarence Thomas just decides to hear the case on his own, not have it heard on its merits by the rest of the court, and holds for Trump and says, "Yeah, you're going to have to give them classified documents back." How do you feel like that's going to work out for us?
Well, it's going to work out real fine for Trump.
I am not going to obey another law as long as I live.
I told you about politics. Remember what I told you about politics? See, that's the problem. Some people out there, they take politics and they think that politics has a set of rules. Okay? And it don't. It has one rule. Them that's got's gets. Y'all write that down. There'll be a quiz later.
If that happens, my neighbor has got the sweetest 82 Electra Glide. I mean, it's like it just rolled off the showroom floor. You know, he polishes it every day. Beautiful. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to take that thing and put it in my own garage.
And that is your right as an American.
I am. And when they show up to take it, I'm going to tell them, nope, possession to 9/10 of the law. It's mine.
You want to turn that back off while we still got a battery?
Okay.
Thank you. They're doing their best to stray me down here in this godforsaken place. Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Texas. I'm sorry, y'all.
You can always go to the game room, Billy. They'll take you in down there.
I'm sure they will. I've been in Texas now for 4 hours. I already met a cartel guy.
El Chappie?
El Chappie, yeah. Running around with baggy pants, his head shaved, and counting the donkey roll, you know. I showed the kids, you know how you go to the zoo and everybody gets to look at the monkey, you know. I said, look at there, boys, there's a cartel guy. Look at that. Oh, good God almighty. Look at there, popping up. Jump up and down, man. Jump up and down.
I'm telling you, man, you got to be here to experience it. It's kind of like being in Hawthorne, California.
Yeah.
You know, Hawthorne, California used to be alive 24/7. And then because of the crime, they just decided to roll up the sidewalks when the sun went down. And I'm telling you, I went for a walk while they were unloading my truck one time in Hawthorne, and the sun had gone down. And I mean, the minute that the sun went down, people started coming out from behind trees and hedgerows and, you know, rocks big enough to conceal a human being behind, and just sort of floating through the air like poop. You know, it was like haints or something.
Well, you know, something interesting. I read an article about Ocasito. Oh, it's been a while ago now, but they have no city there. It's just a gathering of cubbies, okay? But they have no government. They have no police. They just sit around the campfire and they make decisions, and they get along.
Yeah.
They get along. You know, there's no pedophilia, there's no robbery or nothing, because you got two circles. You got the people, regular people around the campfire, and just outside of that, you got the Hell's Angels, you know?
Yeah.
And people hiding from warrants and like that. And, I mean, everything is calm and peaceful and everything. They leave food out for the people jumping the border. I mean, they're real nice guys, you know, until you cross.
They are nice people down there.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding you. If you go toward San Diego, you'll come up on a place called Tubaville, And Tubaville is a wide spot in the road, but I'm telling you, on the weekend and really during the week, there'll be, you'll look off to the right where they got a flat spot in the desert, and there'll be 400 or 500 cars down there with all kinds of groups of people mobilizing with backpacks to take water and food to people who are crossing the border.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you how boring it is. All right. A regular event there is going out to an area and watching the scooting rocks to see if you can see them scoot.
Now,
before I asperge on these people, I'm going to tell you right now, I too have sat out there and watched the scooting rocks.
Well, it's kind of hard not to.
Yeah.
You know, you look at that trail behind them and you go, that ain't no snail. You know, I mean, how the heck is it doing that?
So, no. Yeah. And the people looking for the Lost Dutchman's mine. That's the other group, you know. Yeah, the Lost Dutchman out there with his gold. He come into town, I think Yuma, one time and cashed some gold in. And he went out there and died or something. And they've been digging that desert up ever since.
If there was a Dutchman in Yuma, he was lost. I'm telling you right now.
Hey, I'll tell you, right here where I'm at right now, Jim Bully, you know, he went to San Saba, which is not far from here at all, and went out there and he found silver. And he drew a map, you know. And he had that map in his pocket at the Alamo. And Santa Ana burned him up with a map in his pocket. And they're digging that place up, too.
Well, that trailer park that we own, my grandfather built that thing on top of an Indian graveyard.
It didn't make him no difference at all.
Not a bit. And people were always like, man, this is a spooky place. Have you ever noticed that?
When I first seen Globe Mobile City, 1962, we had a flood. Every year, the Nolan Creek here flooded. Okay, every year. Yeah. Right on schedule. And it would float your grandfather's trailers out of there and slam them in to the Dimple Street Bridge.
Yeah.
We all still have to watch them.
Mine did it one time. Mine was one of the one I was living in. That sucker. I was smart enough by then. I went the first flood that I went through there. I thought, well, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna do this, that, and the other during it. And man, I tell you what, that water got up around knee high, and suddenly I was underwater and my head was hitting rocks and almost broke my arm and got my shirt torn off and got my pants leg ripped open and got a big old gash on my leg and my knee just about my knee never really did recover from a blow that it took. And every now and again my head would come above water, and then when I finally did get, when it spit me out, I was about a mile and a half away from where I started. I mean, those flash floods in Texas are real, folks.
Yeah.
They are not a joke.
Yeah. Listen to this mess I got going in the back seat. I got kids, y'all can tell.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Better that than the other.
Yep. Yep. What was it? Puck made a joke about mistakes in the dark, you know, turning to kids.
Well, you know, still El Salo was the scene of the last Comanche, I think the big last Comanche massacre in Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
But, you know, they had a captain from the United States Army came here in the late 1840s. And we had a serious Comanche problem. They'd come down into the Little Nolan Valley, which is where I'm at right now, and they would steal chickens and burn people up in mattresses and stuff like that. And then the posses would show up, and they chased the Indians, and the Indians would run out towards the Stillhouse Hollow Mountains out there and slip through the Badlands. And then once they got in the Badlands, that was it. You couldn't follow them, you know, because they just get up on the side of the hills to shoot at you. Well, this captain with the U.S. Army came down here, and what he did was he took his troops, and they set up for smoke signals, okay? And the Comanches came down, they did their thing, and instead of chasing them, the captain went out, he went straight to Stillhouse Hollow Pass, Comanche Gap. He went out to Comanche Gap,
yep,
and smoke signals so the other guys that were in the other detachments to head that way. And they were waiting on the Indians when they came through Comanche Gap, and they hung about, oh, I guess 19 or 20 of them right there in the pass. You know, and, oh, you ready for this? You want some real Western lore? Here you go. John and Jane Riggs in 1859 got killed by Comanche Indians, and their graves and gravestone is still in Boot Hill over here in Killeen. John and Jane Riggs, 1859, murdered by Comanche Indians. They had a daughter, about a 15-year-old daughter named Rhoda Riggs, and her little brother. I don't know what his name was. But anyway, the local people, you know, gathered the kids up and everything. They had originally kidnapped Rhoda, and when the posse got after the Indians, they shoved her off the back of the horse, and they were more interested in saving the girl than they were chasing the Indians, and she got, you know, back with them. And anyway, about a week or two later, over in Nolanville, which was what Belton is now, they were having a big barbecue and, you know, gathering money to get money to send Rhoda and her little brother back to Arkansas, where they were from, you know, with relatives that were waiting there. And some cowboys showed up, you know, and asked, you know, they could eat and everything, and they said, well, you got to donate a quarter or 50 cents and everything, eat all you want and everything, we'll raise money for these kids. And old Rhoda, she was sitting there, she's 15, and she told one of the deputies, hey, those cowboys over there, they were some of the Indians that killed my mom and dad, you know, they killed my mom and dad. It, what they were Comancheros. And you know, white people who posed as Indians, right? And, well, they suspended the barbecue right then and had a hanging, you know, right there on the spot.
Yeah, look at there. It's
on the line. Pat has made it through. Pat, come on. We are waiting for you. Go ahead.
But I forgot. You were talking about the valley flooding. Well, George Bush did get a fence up in front of that to stop the flooding. They were bitching and complaining because the turtles couldn't get over the fence. You know, Environmental Protection Agency, more worried about a turtle when everybody in the valley drowning and all the crops. And one of my friends told me, she said that when they saw the water coming over the little furrows, you know, where they have how they grow their crops, you know, they make little bows. They see the water going on, she grabbed all the chickens and threw them out and took off. And when she got back, you know, she had all the chickens. She just had a big mess to clean up.
Well, but at least she didn't have any turtles to worry about.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. But that's the thing, you know, progress has been held up by a turtle or a bug or something. And I'm going to have to, I think the Supreme Court kind of threw that under the bus.
Oh, yeah. They're going to finish it up. They're going to finish it up in this session, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure we're not, we won't be using the term EPA after this Supreme Court session, I'm pretty certain.
Yeah.
I've been looking at the cases they're going to hear, and I, you know, there's no secret how you're going to have, how those people are going to vote. The first thing is if it's anything religious, well, you got 9 justices and 6 cradle to grave Catholics, you know? Out of 9 justices. So it was pretty much thinking it's going to go for however the religious right wants it to go. And the other thing is that, well, they ought to all be wearing robes that have Coca-Cola and Pepsi and ExxonMobil and, you know, all the different corporations that they take money from. I can't remember which one of the justices is that has their own island. One of those guys has his own island.
One of them has his own island?
Yeah, it's off the coast of Greece.
Oh, well. It seems to me like they stay up there till they die. So what good is it?
Are you there?
I'm here. You can't hear me?
One of the justices has his own island?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear. But am I too forward in thinking it's full of little girls?
I don't know what it's full of. I've never been there.
Didn't Ross Perot have an island?
Well, I've never known a Democrat. Didn't have a little girl in the closet somewhere.
Wasn't he famous for saying that, hear that sucking sound when everything leaves to go overseas? Well, he was right, you know, but...
he's from Mexico, actually, but yeah, you're right.
He's got a museum here in Texas, in my vague memory.
I've carried this a little bit because I'm skipping out a lot. I'm in Killeen, Texas.
Well, you're doing all right. You're just hanging in there good. It seems like like maybe it's my phone. It sounds like everybody's skipping a little bit.
Well, I don't know. The sunspots might have to do. Maybe a full moon has to do with it. I don't know.
Yeah, it anyway, could be.
I was thinking about the... I was trying to think about who you said call back about.
It was Martha Mitchell.
Well, I don't deny that she didn't drink too much. She did do that, and I hate the fact that McCarthy drank too much. But you know, when you're stuck in the middle of a daggone bunch of communists like they are, they're all lying and doing all kinds of things, I don't know. I might be tempted to drink too.
Well, I mean, neither Billy nor I.
Neither one of them lasted very long. Yeah. But anyway, y'all don't object to that from what I hear.
No, absolutely not.
I
quit. But I absolutely do not have any kind of anything against people who drink or drinking. I drank plenty of it. I didn't start drinking until I was 48 years old. And, I started off drinking wine, and I went from that to, brandy, and I went from drinking brandy to drinking scotch and Irish whiskey, and then I tried. Then I just tried all of it, and I drank until I was about 68 and a half years old. And my doctor said, if you want to live a happy long life, then you're going to have to stop drinking altogether. It's not healthy, and I did a lot of reading on it, and he's right. You need to keep your weight down and not drink, and do some things for yourself when you get older. That's just all there is to it. So,
well, she wasn't a very slim person. Martha wasn't slim, but I think on her casket they took flowers and wrote out, "You were right," or "Martha was right." That's a picture in the book. So just use flowers to write that out. So a lot of people agreed with her. I think that's one thing that we were talking about, but I just wanted to say that I just try to keep up with the news. And I do believe that people in Russia want Putin to quit.
Yeah, he's having difficulties. He's having a lot of difficulties. Now, whether or not the people of Russia want him to quit, I don't know. But He's having his troubles.
He needs to retire and go to Switzerland with his family. He's leaving two daughters here to do his family.
Well, you know, that would put him right next to his buddy George Bush. And I think Vicente Fox, the guy that used to be the president of Mexico when George Bush was president, has a place in Switzerland also, kind of located between France and Switzerland in that area of the Alps, you know.
The Bank of International Settlements is doing all their dirty work right now, right?
Oh, well, yeah, the central banks are all out there doing dirty work right now. I can't think of a central bank. All countries love their central banks because their central banks, print money. They're the people who print the money. So,
well, that makes me wish I could afford to buy Alex Jones' new book, The Great Reset, or something like that.
Did he write that?
Yeah, it's a brand new book, and he's on live. I guess he's selling it right now till midnight, our central time, I guess. So y'all got competition tonight.
Is he out talking?
Yeah, he's on a BitChute, but. I didn't go. I'm not going there. Anyway, I just thought I would call in and tell you that I don't agree with Martha that she was her drinking too much, but I still don't think she was crazy. I just think if you're in that kind of position where you got all those crazy people around you like that, you can't figure out what they're doing except it's wrong. See, if they'd have listened to Martha, they never would have been. A break in. It wouldn't have been one. You know?
Well, I don't think that Martha Mitchell was crazy. If you say that Martha Mitchell, or for that matter, Jenny Thomas, is crazy, then you got to be willing to say that people who are born again Christians are crazy, because you know all they're doing is they're voicing their belief in something that can't be proven, like the idea that the election was stolen. You know, they want to they believe it, but they can't prove it. You know, and so
I think they can prove it, but they're saying now that 20 mu, all I can think of is more team. That thing is 200 mules or whatever. Oh, that's all fake. That wasn't true. Oh, I don't think so.
Held up in court so far, Miss Pat. None of that stuff has held up in court. They've had it in front of lots of judges, and they haven't.
Judges, the problem. Judges are the problem, not the Constitution or anything. Judges. And Clinton, he went and fired all the federal judges, but nobody else did that, you know. Why not? If he did it, they should have done it, too. They should have fired everyone that a Democrat put in. Well, anyway, back to where we were. There's a scripture in the Bible in Isaiah, and it says the judges, they shall not stand, they shall not be planted. And I said to remind him of his word, and it works. I've seen it happen.
Well, Isaiah is one of my favorite books in the Bible.
Yeah, it is coming. Yes.
We got a commercial coming up, Pat. So as soon as this commercial's over, we can talk about Isaiah a little more.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
I'm all right.
All right. The Prophet Billy is back.
I'm back. I'm using the 5G. I don't know how I got that, but I think I can limp on to the end of the show here and everything. I can't mute myself, and so, we'll take what we get.
Yeah, well, let's do that.
I didn't think I would ever say anything good about Dover, but My connection up there.
Billy, you got a great existence up there. I don't understand. You know, I mean, I would miss the restaurants of Killeen if I lived in Dover. I would. And but that's about it. That right there is just about it. Because,
well, it's little things. You call it Uber in Dover, and a guy with a John Deere tractor shows up here.
Yeah, with a hay wagon on the back.
Hop on,
yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah. Yep. So, Miss Pat, are you still with us?
Yeah, I was looking out Isaiah 54. That was Isaiah 40. I told you about the judges. They shall not stand. They shall not be planted.
Yeah.
And Isaiah 54, it talks about barren that did not bear and break forth and singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with a child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. Well, on down in number 13 it says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of them. It says she didn't have any. So I'm taking all the kids that I've ever had half-raised, you know. Oh, I got some kids. They're just not near me. And I'm counting them for my kids. I got one in the Philippines. Yeah. So.
Well, you know, Isaiah is such an important guy because if you read John, in the book of John, somewhere in there, I've read the Bible enough times that I know that it's there. He talks about Jesus having lived in heaven before. I mean, he had a pre-earth existence. He had a pre-human existence in the heavens, right, before he came to earth. And that was what Isaiah had processed. But Isaiah talked about Jesus and talked about him living in heaven and how he was going to be born. Something important to remember about Isaiah is that he lived about 750 years before Jesus. And a lot changed in the Jewish religion between Isaiah and the appearance of Jesus. A whole bunch of things changed, one of which was the presence of Rome. Wouldn't you say, Billy?
Yeah, exactly. Rome figured very strongly, and it gave Christianity a reason for being, basically. And I'll tell you something interesting about, like, Revelation, is people are always trying to analyze Revelations and position it in modern times and all this kind of stuff. But when you look at it on the surface, and you look at the fact that it was composed by John in like the year 80 or 90 AD, and it accurately predicted the fall of Rome. And it amazes me. People say, well, who was the whore of Babylon? And it says distinctly, she sits on seven mules.
Yeah.
You know, it says it distinctly. Some of the stuff in Revelations is stretched. They try to fit it to modern times. Every generation that we've had since the advent of Christianity has tried to fit whatever's going on in their times with Revelation. But it very clearly says, number one, no one knows when the end is going to come, only the Father. And it very distinctly makes it clear that the events are, they're so astronomical that it's beyond all reason, you know. And it's looking pretty bad right now. It really is. Global warming, the COVID thing. But when you think, oh, COVID is bad, man, how bad can it get? Well, try the Black Death on the side, okay? One-third of the population of Europe. One-third of the population of Europe.
Okay? Something that never fails to amuse me is how people talk about revelations as if it's irrational and not something you can easily understand. Mm-hmm. There's nothing irrational or hard to understand about Revelation. It's just not. why people read that and come away going, well, you got to have some kind of, you know, glasses that are have rocks in them, you know, to read it through this. You know, no. It makes perfect sense. And you know, Isaiah was so important to Jesus. You know, Jesus could never have fulfilled the I'm sorry. Are you there, Billy? Billy. Pat?
Yeah, I'm here. I heard him say something like devils.
Devils.
He must be. He's driving.
No, can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you.
Can you hear me, Ted?
Yep, I hear
you. Yeah, he comes and goes, right?
Not saying anything about the devil. All right.
That's another overdrawn character. People do the craziest stuff they want to do, and the devil maybe do it. No, it didn't.
No. I want to refer you to some YouTube. And the name of the organization is called Supernatural TSSN, and his name is Daniel Adams, and he throws devils out. I mean, I've read some of the saddest little stories people have written on here about why they're afraid that Clarence Thomas is going to get the gay right to marriage thrown out, and I'm not gay, they say, but I do like to wear women's clothes. Well, he needs that devil thrown out. That's all it is to it, and the churches don't do that anymore. But you go on YouTube. Oh, you know what?
yes, ma'am, I do, as a matter of fact.
Well, I'm not a big church.
The Catholic Church still casts demons out. I mean, it's a special arm of the Catholic Church that does this, but there are plenty of Billy will tell you, as an ecumenical minister, there are plenty of people walking around with the authority of the church in their back pocket that are doing stuff that you don't hear about when you sit down in the Catholic Church.
I think we all have that authority. I guess if we're right with God, or we think that's what the problem is, because he said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, the kingdom of heaven is coming to you, right?
I can't think of devils being and demons being cast out without thinking about the Samaritan woman. Oh. Who stopped Jesus and asked him, "Would you please come and help my son? He's got devil in him, and it needs to be cast out." And Jesus's apostles all said, "You can't do that. You can't do that." Well, why can't I do that? What will happen if I do that? Mm-hmm. You know, why can't I do that, Matthew? And well, because if you do, you know, then you'll be breaking Jewish law, which is true. It was true that he could not touch, nor could he perform any kind of religious rite for somebody who was not a kosher, I don't know, whatever you would call it, Jew.
And if the ox was in the ditch, would you not get him out on the Sabbath?
That's what he wound up doing. That's what he wound. Jesus thought about it, and he thought, this is wrong. It's just wrong. She said, "Do you mean to say that we are nothing but dogs, and not to even have the crumbs that are on the table?" And Jesus thought about that, and he thought, "This woman is right."
Well, I don't know if he thought about it, because he said he spoke not a word he didn't hear his father say.
Well. That's what I'm saying Jesus transformed the Jewish religion from a religion of laws that was mainly about penalizing people for doing things that they shouldn't be doing into a religion that was based on the idea of forgiving people for their flaws and their weaknesses.
Well, there's a scripture, too. There's a scripture that says, it says that he sits on the right hand of the Father, ever going before the Father, on things pertaining to God. Well, what pertains to God is the law.
Yeah, but see, back then, the guy that was the head of the Sanhedrin.
Wait a minute, I'll give you an example. Who was it he told to go marry a whore? Well, he don't want everybody to go marry a whore. But God wanted that prophet to go marry the whores at Hosea so that he would know how God felt when Israel whored against him. And so Jesus, I have to say, I told him to do that.
Well, everything we're talking about is about legitimacy. This all goes back to Abraham and his son. This all goes back to Moses and the burning bush and the Ten Commandments. You know, there's no legitimacy to anything that you read at the end of the Bible. And everything in between, the whole circumcision, the whole nine yards, without the legitimacy of the all-powerful, almighty God underlying that legitimacy. And it is a carefully constructed mechanism. If you look at each and every one of the prophecies, you brought Isaiah up. Isaiah, Jesus could not have been accepted as the anointed one without Isaiah's prophecy 700 years before that, before he came onto the scene. And without John the Baptist, you know, who lent his legitimacy to Jesus, confirming that this guy had a pre-human existence in the heaven, and I'm baptizing him. He's now human, and he is now the anointed one. He is hereby anointed, you know, by God as our Savior. And without that legitimacy, they had nothing. And I think this is what I've been carping about for some time on this show, and that is that we have a Supreme Court that has the legitimacy of settled law to back it up, and they are busy destroying that legitimacy right now.
I can't quote the scripture, but I think if something was wrong, like the Roe v. Wade, it's just like Alito said. He said it should never have been done to start with. It is not in the Constitution.
So why didn't they have all 11 justices sitting down and coming up with a coherent reason for the fact that it shouldn't have been done that way? If it didn't get done that way, then what was the right way to do it? Well, if that was the wrong way to do it, this is not the only settled law that they've gotten rid of, nor is it the only settled law that they plan to get rid of, Pat. There's going to be a lot more settled law that they get rid of now.
Good.
Where's their legitimacy going to come from?
Lord allows things because...
The Lord allows things.
He doesn't allow wicked people to come in, and you see how bad it could be, like we're doing now. You won't appreciate it if it's any better.
Well, the Lord
allows the aborted babies are in heaven. I believe they're growing up in heaven.
Well, the Lord doesn't allow us to provide abortions, but when mankind got out of hand, he sure allowed a bunch of unborn babies to get killed in Sodom and Gomorrah, not to mention whatever the name of the town was that Noah was
living
in.
Are you sure they had any?
You don't think there were any pregnant women that died in that flood?
You mean Noah's Ark flood?
Yeah.
Or what?
Yeah. the great flood.
Right. That's what this holiday was just recently. Rosh Hashanah was appreciating the fact that God saw fit to renew the earth with people. He could have let them all get killed.
Well, abortion clinics haven't killed all the unborn children, just some of them.
Well, I mean, he could have started over again. I don't know if he hadn't done the Genesis say God recreated the earth instead of created.
I'm just saying that all I'm saying is this, and that is that in the end, the Constitution is what provides the legitimacy of our government to tax us. Is it not? No taxation without representation, Billy. Am I wrong about that?
That amendment was never passed.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I'm back in. Neil Tyson brings up an example of a great earthquake in Europe. During the High Holy Day, they killed like 80,000 people because they were all in church, and big buildings fell down because that earthquake got them. And then the tidal wave came. And what Neil says is, are you telling me that God made the decision to kill all those people who were in church worshiping him? Why would this happen? Now, Neil is not an atheist. He's not an atheist.
He's a Christian.
An astroscientist. But he's got a good point there. But the thing is, the way I'm a deist, and I hope I don't get cut off by the connection again. I believe that God created the universe, and he fixed it up, and he put in all these natural laws to make it run and everything. And then he told us, it says it right in Genesis. It's right in Genesis that he gave man dominion over this and that and this and that and everything. And basically, I believe he turned around and said, okay, I made it for you. I put all the stuff in place. Here's you some food to eat. You guys run. You know, and the people that consistently run to God, you know, they run to God to ask him to do what he's already asked us to do. Now, I don't believe in abortion. I don't believe in abortion, and Ted knows that. I don't believe in abortion and everything. And I believe that what's happening in America right now is our just punishment for all those millions of murders that we have committed. You know, and God let us do it. Okay, do what you want to do. You're in charge. And now here comes COVID, and here comes global warming, and God knows what else. Because you did. I'm just playing by the rules you set.
What global warming is? There's some scripture in there that says it got hotter and hotter, and they cursed God more and more. The global warming is a cursing God.
Well, it could now. I believe that, but also with global warming on a scientific stance. And I've said it again, 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 again. We had huge glaciers in the time of the Neanderthals. And all of a sudden, we had tall, skinny black guys from Ethiopia walk all the way to London and run off the Neanderthals because the glaciers had melted. Okay? And then we went to a period now, and now we're going back to, because of the tilt of the Earth's axis and this.
That too,
God set that up. He set that up. Yep. Here's your little global warming. Here's your few glaciers, you know.
I'm going to come and get John from Tennessee now. I think he believes in a flat Earth. But, you know, there are four corners.
No, I don't.
There are four corners on Earth.
No. I want to say... You made a point, something I could not remember because I was driving through Texas at the time. Stupid conspiracy theories are taking precedence over science, over common sense. Common sense.
Yeah, our flat earth. Flat earth,
you know?
The four corners are four huge mountain ranges. and they ballast earth. But now we're putting up things like New York City that may be heavier than a mountain range. And so I think we're causing the earth to go wobble. And it may be that it's it's moving a little more from what God made it every day until we're experiencing different temperatures too, because we're getting hit with a different part of the day, and everybody, I mean, the month or whatever, and everybody on the other side said, man, it sure is warming up here. We're saying, oh no, it's getting cold, you know.
Well, about the time I was in the fifth grade, I had it figured out. You know, I understood when I was in the fifth grade, I started looking at population figures over spans of decades, and I realized, well, about the time I get to be about 70 or 80 years old, we're going to have about 9 billion people on the planet. And I wasn't far off. We got about 8.5 billion right now,
I tell you what you did. You watched TV, and they showed you downtown.
No, I didn't. I didn't watch TV back in them days. My dad would not allow a TV set in my house. He said, that right there is a hole that leads directly to socialism. That thing wants to sell you stuff that you can't afford. It wants me to pay for it. And he was right. He was absolutely right.
At one time, commercials paid for it.
Well, the commercials for the stuff I could not afford, and I desperately wanted those things. You know why? Not so much because I really wanted them. I wanted them because my friends had them. You know.
Right.
So what he did was he went down and he bought a lawnmower, one of them push kind without a motor on it, and a set of yard clippers, and he went and got signed people up and down the block.
Hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. And he said,
okay,
I'm gonna let you.
I try to make a living.
Yeah, we're coming up on
the. Are we coming up on commercial?
See y'all tomorrow. I'll be back in Dover and we'll on the road again.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it's the end of the. It's the end of the show.
Yeah.
So we go back into our box tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll see you when they open the drawer and pull us out, Billy.
All right, good. It's okay.
Another one in the can, Billy. I'll see you tomorrow.
Let me ask you something. When my wife's father has introduced me to stogies, what is she going to say?
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
Say hello to my little friend.
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, they hear the lamentation of the women.
That is good.
That is good.
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
True winner.
And I get the green light from Mom.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio.
only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.